Good morning. Hope you've had a great day and hope you had a great week so far this morning. What a beautiful week God has given us as we've celebrated the Holy Week this week. Make sure you turn to 88.1 this morning. If you can hear me, beep your horn so I know you can hear me. All right, fantastic. In your packet information that you received, you have a bulletin. Then you have two offering envelopes this morning. And let me explain the offering envelopes to you so you know what to do with them. The one that has a heart on it is for your regular church offering. The one with the heart is for regular church offering only, okay? Anything in it goes to the budget and only to the budget. Then you have an Annie Armstrong Easter offering envelope, and that envelope is only for the love offering for Annie Armstrong Easter offering. All right, if it's not in this or not written on your check on memo, Annie Armstrong Easter offering, it will go into the budget. So make sure you understand, the one with the red heart is for regular budget, the one that says Annie Armstrong is for the love offering. We'll be passing a plate one time this morning, one time, and everything will go in that plate at one time this morning. So in case of the pouring down rain, it may be coming. I want to say a great big welcome to you this morning. I want to welcome you and I want to say happy Easter this morning to you. Happy Resurrection Sunday as we celebrate today the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No longer is that tomb full, but that tomb this morning is empty because the precious body of our Lord and Savior is alive and well today. Amen. 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 So through the service, you'll be able to blow the horn for amens. And then let's start out. Let's pray. And we're going to get started this morning. All your songs are in your handout. The outline is on the back page. So follow along this morning as we sing. You worship with us. Sing out loud with us as we worship this morning. A risen Savior today. Let's pray. Father God, we just humbly bow before you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you today. Father, the tomb is empty today. Lord, what a great praise report that is in our hearts and our lives today, Lord, as Christians. Lord, we ought to have such a joy and excitement inside of us today, Lord. Lord, it ought to cause us to really serve you as your children, to stand up and be the child of God you've called us to be, to no longer fall back in the sinful patterns of this world, but, Lord, to make a complete surrender of our lives to you, and be a holy example of who Jesus Christ truly is in this world. Father, thank you for loving us. Father, thank you today that you are that risen Savior. And Father, this morning as we worship you today, Lord, I pray that our worship will be a sweet savor in your nostrils today. Father, we ask you to descend upon this parking lot, Lord, and Lord, that you would fill this area today with your very presence. Father, not only on this parking lot, but around this community, Lord, this community would feel your presence today in a mighty way. Lord, if there's one today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, our hope and desire is you would draw them today to a saving knowledge of who you truly are, that their life may be radically changed forever through Jesus Christ. And Father, our desire is for those Christians, Lord, who are not living as we ought to be living, Lord, who are not being the example of Jesus we ought to be, that today would be the day that everything changes in our life on Resurrection Sunday. That you would become so real in our life and so apparent in our life that everyone would see who you truly are today. Father, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a reminder, we will be doing Lord's Supper this morning. So I hope you have your crackers and your juice in your vehicle with you today. So when we get to that point, I'll instruct you what to do as we go through the Lord's Supper. At this time, I'll turn it over to Miss Tracy.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Let me say happy Easter as well. What a blessing. I believe we have more and more cars every Sunday. Every Sunday. God is blessing us. And we are here to worship Him. We've chosen songs specifically for Easter for us to be able to worship easily. So if you would join us, this one is God, You're So Good.
God, you're so good. You're so good.
We are so blessed this morning, but a special blessing we have for you. Our own Terry Nalapai is going to sing a solo for us, but you back him up on the chorus. Terry?
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great.
Pastor Shane's going to pray, and we're going to let the guys go by and take up offering.
Amen. What a beautiful song. How great is our God. Our God is an awesome God. Today, our Savior, Jesus, rose from the grave. And how great is that Savior who rose from that grave to give freedom from sin, to give salvation, to give reconciliation. To give us, those who come and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to give us a home in heaven with Him one day. Remember, your offering envelope, the one with the heart, is for your tithe. The one that says Annie Armstrong is for your Annie Armstrong Easter offering, the ingathering that we're taking this morning also. The men will pass the plates just one time this morning, so put everything in that plates. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we praise you this morning, Lord. Father, we thank you for the weather that you've given us so far this morning, Lord. It's beautiful. It's not hot. It's not freezing, Lord. And praise the Lord, it's not raining. Father, today we're here for one reason and one reason only. Lord, we're here today to worship a risen Savior. A Savior who came forth out of that old, rugged, cold, cruel grave. And who stepped forth, Lord, alive and well that Sunday morning. That resurrection morning. And Father, today, Lord, our heart's desire, I pray, Lord, is all about worshiping you. It's all about raising forward and raising up the Savior this morning that all people may know who Jesus Christ is. That all people may turn to a saving knowledge of him. Father, help us today to be who we need to be. Father, bless this offering that we're about to take, Lord. I pray that you would use it. I pray you would multiply it. And Father, I thank you so much for the giving of your people these last three Sundays. Father, it has been phenomenal. It has blown us away. Father, it has almost been double in the last 3 weeks compared to what we normally bring in three Sundays. Father, that's only you. Father, that's a testimony to you and to your praise and to your worthy and to your majesty this morning. That coronavirus can't stop a holy and almighty God from doing what God wants to do and what God is about to do in a mighty and holy way within his people and in this world today in the coming days.
Amen.
Father, you move radically. Again, bless this offering. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Man, can you give Debbie a big amen on that?
Amen.
Whew. What a beautiful, beautiful song she played. Thank you so much, Miss Debbie. Miss Tracy.
We're going to let Miss Debbie play again. We've had some requests that we do some more hymns. So we always try to take in requests and do those things. This morning, Debbie's going to play, and we're going to sing Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Miss Debbie.
At this time, we're going to move into our Lord's Supper time. So if you'll take your crackers and your juice with me this morning. And as always, before we move into it, it's always the time that we should examine our hearts, examine who we are, examine the sinfulness that may be in our life, and ask Jesus to forgive us of all that sin, all that unworthiness that's inside of us, that we may not take the Lord's Supper unworthily today. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us that many are asleep and many are sick because of that. Many are sick and many are dead today because they've taken unworthily of the body and the blood of Jesus in representation through the bread and the juice this morning. So this time, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning. And I'm going to ask you to take just a moment, and I'm going to ask you this morning to ask Almighty God to search your heart, to show you any area in your life that is not right with Him, any sinfulness that's in your life. And I'm going to ask you this morning that you would humbly bow before Him. Confess it and get it right. Get it under the blood this morning, that you may take the Lord's Supper today, worthily before Him today. Father God, as we humbly bow before you this morning, Father, corporately this morning, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Father, to strengthen us in you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus, and Lord, what he did on the cross for us over 2,000 years ago, as he gave his life there on Calvary, that we may have hope and salvation through faith in you. Father, help us today, Lord, to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. Father, forgive us of our sin. Help us to be what we need to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Prepare your bread this morning, your cracker. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, it says, "And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. You may eat." And in Luke verse 22, verse 20, he says, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. You may drink." If you will, this morning, let me take out your handout of the sermon this morning. We're going to be in Luke chapter 22 this morning. So turn with me this morning in your word and the word of God this morning as we look at God's holy word today. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12 this morning. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were very much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Wow. Can you imagine that experience Mary and them had in that moment? As they walk in and as they stand there and as they now see these two in shining garments. The angels of the Lord here, the messengers of Almighty God. Verse 5, and as they were afraid and bowed down their face to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day arise again. You know, in this moment, their faith was very weak. Jesus had told them he was going to rise again, that he was going to come back to life in 3 days. But here this morning, they go to the tomb to try to prepare the body of Jesus Christ for burial, in essence. And in this moment, they're reminded by the messengers of God that Jesus told them what was going to happen, that Jesus declared to them that he would not only be delivered into the hands of sinful men, he would be crucified, but the third day he would arise from the grave victorious over the grave. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And these words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And here's the 11, here's the disciples of Jesus. When they hear about what's happened, they believe them to be fairy tales. They believe them to be idle tales. And the word of God here says they believe them not. Verse 12, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher. Now here Peter is. Peter's a man who is very bold. Here's a man who had just denied Jesus Christ 3 times before he was crucified. Who had told Jesus before he denied him, I will never deny you. I will never turn from you. I'll never be offended by you. I will stand with you even if I have to die for you, Jesus. I'll die with you. And Jesus looks at him. As much as Jesus loves Peter, he looks at Peter and he says, Peter, for the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And here's a man who has denied Jesus 3 times in front of all the witnesses, in front of all the people that were there. And now Peter, when he hears what's happened, when he hears Jesus has arisen from the dead, Peter immediately jumps up and he runs to the grave. He runs to the tomb to check it out. And stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Let's pray. Father God, in the next few minutes, Lord, I pray you just open our hearts and minds to you. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would just deepen us in our walk with you today, Lord, that today, that you'll grab so much a hold of us today, you'll pull us tight. And Father, today, our lives will be radically changed with you because of who you truly are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In that day when a person died, the custom was is they would prepare spices and they would anoint the body with those spices for burial. The Word of God tells us in that moment, because of the rush to get Jesus down, because of the Sabbath was coming, they were unable to properly prepare the body of Jesus in that moment. They made them spices, they got them ready, but because the Sabbath was coming, they could not go and anoint the body of Jesus in the way that it needed to be anointed. So this morning, as they come to the tomb, they are coming for one reason, and that is to anoint the body of Jesus in that moment as needed to be anointed. So as they come with an anticipation. They come with an excitement that we want to go and we're going to see the body of Jesus. We're going to prepare it properly as it needs to be for the burial of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when they arrive at the tomb, there's a completely different thing that has happened. If you read in other Gospels, the account here, one of the accounts says there's a great earthquake. You know, as they come to that tomb that morning, there were some obstacles that they were going to face. There were some challenges that they were going to have to go through that some of the other Gospels begin to point out. And this morning, I want us to look at some of those obstacles for just a few moments that these women were going to face to try to get to the body of Jesus to anoint him as they needed to anoint him. First, they faced the guards that had been placed there. I don't know about you, but the Roman guards and Roman soldiers were very skilled men of war and battle. There was no way these few women were going to be able to overtake the guards that were there in front of them. But the Word of God tells us in that moment that as the earth began to shake, they were overcome and perplexed, and they fell out, in essence, as almost dead men. So when they come to the tomb that morning, God had already taken the obstacle that was in front of them, one of the obstacles, and he had moved that out of their way that morning. They didn't have to face the guards. They didn't have to mess with the guards. They didn't even have to worry about the guards in that moment because Almighty God had already taken care of the guards. The second obstacle they faced that morning was the seal that had been placed around that stone that had been rolled in front of the grave. The graves in that day were actually hewn out of rocks inside of hills and inside of cliffs and stuff. Inside of the mountains and the other things that were there, they would hewn those out to where a body could be laid in and then a rock could be stuck, a big stone could be rolled over in front of them. That's what Joseph Arimathea had done. And as he donates this grave, his grave in essence to Jesus, the religious leaders had gone to Pilate here and they had asked for him to seal it to make sure it was sure so no one could come and steal his body. See, the religious leaders were afraid that the body of Jesus would be stolen and it would appear that he had risen from the dead as he said he would. So as the ladies come this morning, there's a second obstacle they have to face. How in the world are they going to get that seal that's been placed there open so they're able to get in to see Jesus? But the Word of God tells us as we look into different accounts in the Gospels there, it tells us that the seal had already been broken. And to me, the third obstacle that I really believe is the most important and the biggest obstacle that was in front of them that day was how in the world they were ever going to move that big stone that was in front of the grave. Now, it would have probably been a pretty big stone that was there. And these women, there was no way they could have moved that stone. The Word of God tells us because of that great earthquake and because of the angel of the Lord, that stone was rolled away. And when they come that morning, that grave is open for them to walk into. Here Luke shares, as they walk in, they see nothing but the grave clothes laying there. The body of Jesus is gone. God had removed every obstacle that would stop these ladies from being able to come to his son that morning. Being able to go into the tomb to see that the body was not there any longer. That Jesus had arose from the grave and he was victorious. For me and for you. What obstacles are you facing today that keep you from coming to know Jesus Christ? What obstacles are in your life today that are stopping you from being able to know Jesus the way he wants you to know him? To know him today as your Lord and Savior that changes your life forever. For those of us who are saved, those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what obstacles are stopping you today from completely surrendering to Jesus Christ? And living for him as he has called you to and as he wants you to live for him this morning. What obstacles are there? Is it your family? Is it your friends? Is it your work environment? Is it your money? Is it something else in your life that is stopping you from solely and completely surrendering to Almighty God and serving Almighty God in the way God has called you to serve him? What is it today that is stopping you from completely selling out your life unto him? You say, but Shane, I don't have anything that's stopping me from selling out to him. Let me ask you a couple questions. Are you in his house every time the doors are open? Unless you're providentially hindered? Are there other things that you choose over him? Are there other issues that keep you from coming to his house like you ought to? See, if there's anything that keeps you from coming to his house, if there's anything that keeps you from the relationship he wants you to have with him, you are not completely surrendered unto him. There's something in your life that you're trying to hold back, that you're trying to be in charge of, that you're trying to still manage yourself. When a holy and almighty God, when Jesus himself said that when you come to him, you surrender it all unto him. It's all his. No longer is it yours, but you're in his holy hands from that moment on. And that precious promise from Almighty God in John chapter 10, that when you're in God's hand, nobody can pluck you out of God's hand. Can I tell you this morning? I'm so thankful that once I'm saved and I know Jesus Christ, I am his. My God is a big enough God that my God is able to hold on to me and not forget who I am and not lose me. My God is able to keep me in his hands for eternity because my God is a big God. I hope you serve that same God that I serve this morning, that same big God. Secondly, I want you to see this morning, what happened that morning? That morning, everything changed when the ladies got to the tomb. Everything that morning changed with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First, God accepted a ransom that was paid for us. Can I tell you that morning, that is the greatest thing for me right there. To know that my sins have been paid for by Jesus Christ. And when I humbly came to him as a child and I asked Jesus into my heart to save me, no longer was I condemned by my sins, but now I was forgiven by my sins and I was saved and set free from the bondage and the condemnation that my sins had caused in my life. Jesus paid my price and your price today for those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Secondly, Satan was defeated. I want you to know Satan was defeated in that moment. I told you over and over about the song that Carmen has done and has out and did years ago. In that song, it talks about the demons. They were having a party because Jesus had been crucified. Friday, they were excited. Saturday, they were excited. They were partying. And all of a sudden, the countdown begins 10, 9, 8, 7. The demons begin to say, what's going on? What's happening? 6, 5, 4. They're screaming. They're wailing. They don't know what's happening. 3, 2, 1. And that tomb opens up and Jesus walks out alive and victorious that day. Satan was defeated in all things because of our Savior that morning. Woo! Amen. Amen. Can I tell you today, because of Jesus, I don't have to worry about Satan when I come to know Jesus taking me out of the hands of a holy and almighty God because I'm his and the victory is mine because Jesus has given it to me. Because he's defeated Satan. Thirdly, sin was defeated. Sin was defeated that morning when Jesus came out of that grave. No longer does sin have a bondage and a hold on me when I ask Jesus into my heart. Now I've been saved and set free, and I hope you have this morning. I hope you've been set free by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then lastly this morning, hope came to those who were lost. Can I tell you, on that resurrection morning, when Jesus came out of that grave and God accepted the penalty that was paid for my sins and yours, and I turned to Jesus, that hope was brought to me because of Jesus Christ coming out of that grave. He's defeated Satan. He's defeated sin. It no longer has a hold or a bondage on me. Praise God. I'm set free because of Jesus today. Whew. For all of those who are lost in our world today, there's hope. If you're lost today and you're watching this video, or you're here this morning, you're hearing me share, I want you to know there's hope for you if you're lost without Jesus Christ. There's hope this morning. Jesus paid the price for you. Jesus gave his heart and his life, everything he had, on the cross of Christ that morning. And that week when he arose from the grave, everything changed with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our world has never been the same since Jesus rose from the grave. I want to close with an illustration that happened to me Wednesday night of this week. About 9 p.m., I hear Kinsley and Chris yelling for me to come out to the garage. In fact, my daughter had called me and said, you need to get out here to the garage. So I get up out of my chair, comfortable spot, and I go out into the garage. And I get out there, and there's a cardinal in our garage. Beautiful red cardinal. Gorgeous cardinal. It's in that garage. It's up on top of the garage door. And the girls are scared to death trying to get it out of the garage. And so I'm out there. I've got a broom tapping on the garage door, trying to get it to fly and fly out away from me, out into the darkness of the night there. But the bird would not fly out. It kept flying around, and it was scared to death. It'd land on stuff. And literally, as it landed on different items in the garage, you could see it almost just shaking. It was scared to death of me. It was scared to death of us. I tried everything that night to get that cardinal to fly out of that garage. I even left the garage door open for over 2 hours, hoping he would just fly out and find his way out to safety. About 11:30, I come back out, and he was still in the garage, sitting on top of the garage door. I was frustrated. I tried everything I could. I got the broom back out, and I kept tapping on it, trying to get him to fly out, but he was scared to death. He would fly out to other areas and land on stuff, and I could just see him physically shaking. It frustrated me because I couldn't help that bird. So I decided to put the garage door down, to cut the light out, and to go on to bed. And I prayed during that night, Lord, don't let that bird die tonight in the garage. Lord, such a beautiful creature, such a beautiful bird. Lord, I wanted it to be able to go and to live and to do what it needed to do. Man, it may have had children. I didn't know. It may have had baby birds. And I wanted it to be able to take care of its family. I woke up early Thursday morning, and I immediately went out to the garage, and there that bird was, sitting on a box there in the garage. As soon as it saw me, it started flying around the garage, scared to death, and just freaking out as it did. I opened up the garage, and he just got more paranoid, started flying around even harder. Every time he would land on something, I'd try to get him to go out the garage door, and he wouldn't go. I tried everything I could that morning to try to get him to go out that garage door. Finally, I said, after about an hour of trying to get him to go out, I said, I'm going to go get dressed and get ready. Shower and get ready to go on to the church. And baby, he'll somehow just fly out of the garage on his own. Well, I came back out ready to go to work, to come to church. And praise the Lord, that cardinal was no longer in the garage. And I started thinking as I went through that day, how that was really a picture of us with God. Remember in Adam and Eve's sin there in the garden, and they were kicked out? Can you now imagine the fear that's upon their hearts and their lives because of the relationship they had with Almighty God? They were spending time with Him in the cool of the day, every day. And now, because of their sins, they've been kicked out. They've been alienated away from God. They've been condemned because of their sin. And all I thought about that Thursday was that little bird. It went through my mind so many times, Wednesday night and Thursday morning, if I was just a bird. If I was another cardinal, I could fly in and I could lead him out to safety. And he would be safe and be reunited with his family. And I thought, what a picture of who Jesus truly is for us. Jesus was that one that came from Almighty God, God in the flesh, in human form to lead us to an almighty, holy God. To a righteous and holy, infinite, all-knowing God, all-powerful God. And for all who come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we are saved and reconciled to a holy God that loves us. That's what Jesus did for us when he came to earth as a little baby over 2,000 years ago. And as he lived his life here on earth, as he grew, as he got bigger, as he served the Lord in the ministry that God had called him to serve in, and ultimately to stretch out his arms on Calvary's cross and to give his life on Calvary for us, Jesus paid it all for me and you as a ransom for us. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning. Close your eyes today. Maybe you're here this morning for the first time, you realize on Resurrection Sunday morning that Jesus loves you, that Jesus gave his life on Calvary for you, that you may have hope and salvation through faith in him. If that's you, I'm going to pray a simple prayer this morning. And if you really, truly mean, I'm going to ask you to pray it with all of your heart and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that means I've done things that are wrong, Father, that have alienated me from you. Jesus, I ask you this morning to forgive me of my sins, to come into my heart and to save me. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart and saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Maybe you're here also, heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're saved. But this morning, you haven't been living for him like you ought to be. Maybe the language that comes out of your mouth, maybe the attitude, maybe the illness, maybe whatever it is in your life is holding you back as an obstacle from you truly surrendering completely to Jesus Christ in your life and making him not only your Savior, but the Lord of your life today. If that's you, I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and I want you to, in your heart, if you truly mean it, I'm going to ask you to pray that, to rededicate your life to him this morning. Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me, Lord. I know I'm yours. But Father, in so many ways, I let you down every day. Father, help me today to surrender all to you. Help me today to be not only saved by you, but allow you to be the Lord of my life this morning. Father, today as I rededicate my life to you, help me to be the image that others see that is you, not me, when they look at me, Father. Father, help them to see you inside of me. Lord, change my life like never before. Use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Maybe you're here today and maybe you prayed that first prayer with me. Maybe you prayed to ask Jesus into your heart this morning. If I ask you this morning, I can't see your hands with the rain coming down now, but I know God sees it. If that was you this morning, you prayed to ask Jesus in your heart, I'm just going to ask you to beep your horn if that was you. Well, I see that. All right? Thank you. All right? If you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus in your heart for the first time, I'm going to ask you after the service, I know it's raining, but to come see me, to text me or to call me sometime today so that I can talk to you and we can begin that process of discipleship in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you prayed that second prayer with me. Maybe you prayed that prayer to recommit your life unto him, to surrender your all unto him and make him the Lord of your life in the days to come. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to blow your horn so that I know that you prayed that prayer. Amen. I hear those. If that's you and you've rededicated your heart, your life to Christ, I hope today will be the day that you begin to truly live for him like never before. I hope today will be the day that you become the one that is that example of who he truly is. I love each and every one of you this morning. I'm so excited to serve here at Cedar Shoals alongside of you. I want to say happy Easter to you this morning. As we pray and we depart today, I hope each of us will deploy out of this parking lot and be witnesses for Jesus who share Jesus Christ with everyone this morning while it's still time and we still have time to share Jesus before it's everlasting too late. Father God, thank you for this morning, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the ones that are here. Lord, I pray you'd bless each and every one of them. Father, give us the day today an awesome day in Easter with you. Father, thank you for Resurrection Sunday this morning as we serve a holy and risen Savior this morning. Father, thank you for saving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great Easter. Appreciate that, man.
with all of my heart. And I will praise you with all of my strength. And I